Hello everyone, Nexa here at Evolving RPG, and we're doing part two of the alignment panel discussion. Today I am joined with Artis Magnus, also known as Ray, as well as Greytome. Just to give everyone a little background information, the purpose of this particular podcast is that we're trying to hash out how specific alignments would interact in certain scenarios. The whole goal of it is that once it's all said and done, we're going to actually develop a test that a person can take, and it will predict what your alignment should be. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started. And our first scenario is, the party is victorious against an ambush, and some of the enemies surrender. How do you handle the prisoner? And we'll start off by talking about how the lawful good person will handle them. So, Greytome, I'll give it to you first.
Okay. Thank you, Nexa. I just want to point out, too, that come to my attention, that Ray said, fucking, I got it all wrong last podcast with the way the alignment works. So, I would like to plug the site, check out Evolving RPG, listen to the first alignment podcast, and then explain, then probably message Ray how we were actually right. But that aside, I think with lawful good character, I think this one really, the two extremes, your lawful good, your chaotic evil, you kind of know where they're going to go. I think a lawful good individual would be, well, it's going to come down to what the walls of the land would be, but I think they're going to be more inclined to accept an honorable surrender, take them prisoner, and see them safely to someplace where they can be tried for their crimes according to whatever laws and rules are established, so that, you know, their moral compass is going to be more or less, okay, you know, law and order being maintained, kind of like, you know, surrender, I'm going to lock you up now, we're going to keep you, you know, incapacitated until we get to the nearest town or wherever it may be, and then whatever legal process there is for the land takes precedent. We hand it off to those authorities, and then we're off on our merry way.
What do you think, Ray?
Okay, so not everything you guys said on the last podcast that I happened to miss was wrong. There's just a lot of things that I disagree with.
That's cool.
I think the situation doesn't really warrant what the character does based off of alignment. In this example with the lawful good person, the alignment doesn't make the character do anything. And that's what you guys kept harping on, especially with the example that you had said on the last podcast about the beggar. I hate to kind of go back on it. I'll answer the question in a second, but the actions that the player does have no bearing at all to his alignment. It's how he goes about it that's slightly different. Okay? In this example, a lawful good person, they surrender, could easily kill each one of those players, especially if he's a paladin. Okay? It's just how you justify the answer. The lawful good person could have them all killed. He probably wouldn't do it viciously. He would probably execute them as a man of justice, like a paladin, judge, jury, executioner, probably beheads them or hang them, which would be very proper. And he does not have to accept their surrender. It's all dependent on the circumstance. A chaotic evil person, I know we're on another line here, would do the exact same thing if he wanted to. He could easily accept all of their surrender, while the lawful good person does not. The alignment does not dictate your actions to anything that you do, not one bit. How you perceive and the action and how you go about it is what matters. Not an alignment should never get you to do anything. Like if a beggar comes up to you in that example, you said that the lawful good person would give him gold. No. A chaotic evil person could give him gold. What if, well, a chaotic evil person could easily give him 10 platinum. Here's 10 platinum. With a smirk on his face, knowing that this alcoholic drunk would probably drink himself to death and then laugh in the middle of the night.
Right. And that's where I want to because I understand what you're saying, but look at it this way. Just in this specific example, just that you said, a lawful good person could be justified in executing them, and it would probably be, you know, swift and just. However, a chaotic evil character, like you said, could execute them too, but they could torture them. We're going to find what information we have. That is the alignment on what you would do. A lawful good person, I don't think, would necessarily torture someone.
No, see, that's where you're confused. There's nothing. Torture is not a moral thing. It's if he's torturing for pleasure and liking your work over doing your duty. It's completely two different things. You can be duty bound and proud and follow the proper regulations because he is an enemy, right? And enemies are, especially in the time of war, there's rules of engagement. And if you're following those rules, a lawful good person would easily find him and question him and could torture him to get the information for the greater good. It's just how I reason to get to that situation and what the GM finds acceptable. Because overall, it's not what the player wants, it's what the GM perceives to be a morally good or evil decision. Because God is played by the GM. I'm pleasing the GM. And this is why when there's alignment conflicts, the player has to argue or convince the GM to see it his way to allow him to take a certain action.
I was just going to say, once again, while I do understand that torture can give off some, in some cases, it possibly can give off good intel or good information. As a whole, most good people will tell you they don't condone or they would not do torture because being good. So in the case of a lawful good person, and actually, I don't have it pulled up, but one of the things that I did in the previous one is that I actually read what a lawful good person is, like exactly what they viewed a lawful good, what the alignment is. Great, Tom, do you still have it up?
Yeah, I've got the I've got the 5th edition book here.
Okay, read it.
So under lawful good, it's lawful good. Okay, so just kind of summarizing the two paragraphs leading into the actual alignments themselves. You know, a typical creature in the worlds of Dungeons and Dragons has an alignment. And I'm talking Dungeons and Dragons here. Now, I brought up some stuff with Palladium's rule system last time, but just D&D. A typical creature in the worlds of Dungeons and Dragons has an alignment, which broadly describes its moral and personal attitudes. Alignment is a combination of two factors. One identifies morality, good, evil, neutral, and the other describes attitudes or society and order, lawful, chaotic, and neutral. Thus, 9 distinct alignments define the possible combinations. These brief summaries of the 9 alignments describe the typical behavior of a creature with that alignment. Individuals might vary significantly from that typical behavior, and few people are perfectly and consistently faithful to the precepts of their alignment, which I think is what Ray's kind of point down there, that, yeah, a lawful character could do certain things in the circumstances. But the way it's defined in the book, lawful good creatures can be counted on to do the right thing as expected by society. Gold dragons, paladins, and most dwarves are lawful good. So I think that there's a context of the overall system that's in place and what society expects is the good behavior. If it's a society that does condone torture of these ambushers to get information about what their larger group may be doing, I think that would be okay. Or that could be a argument made by the player saying that, well, I'm trying to get this for the information for the greater good. But if the particular society doesn't condone that kind of behavior, then a lawful good creature would not engage in that activity, instead deferring to whatever legal precedent would be existing for that realm.
And those statements are all true, but again, I think it's key words that matter, right? Like, I think there's a difference of, like, for example, could a lawful good person steal? Ever? Yes or no?
Well, I think, yeah, I think there would be conditions where that would happen.
I think they could steal, but I think they would have a problem with doing it.
Yes.
It would literally be like, you know how you get that feeling like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, and there has to be a real justifiable reason for me to do this.
Yeah, it wouldn't come easily.
Yeah, I agree. He would not enjoy it. He might leave an IOU or I'm borrowing it and bring it back later or compensate for whatever he took at the moment because he needed the need to steal. I get it, but that's the whole point. He's not willingly stealing. He's not willingly robbing. He's not willingly vandalizing things. But can he choose to do those things because of necessity or because it's required based on the mission or the task or the situation? Yes, he can. Right? Can a lawful good person, now you start getting into like the seven sins, right? Or the seven vices of the world. Like, I think that if a lawful good person was motivated by pride, gluttony, or something like that, anything in excess is bad. But again, he could justify certain responses. Like he would never, he would like, for example, a lawful good person would probably give his own life rather than hurt an innocent person, right? More than likely. Let's say he felt he was like the lawful good paladin and that he was the only one capable of ending the evil, knowing that this villager could not do it. Could he hurt the villager to allow him to, like, would he sacrifice the villager so that he can go on to live and fight the great evil that's going to destroy the town? Of course. Absolutely, because the cost of the many outweighs the cost of the one. Always. And with that realm of thinking, you as a lawful good individual, and I'm not even talking about paladin, just talking a lawful good individual, could do just as much evil in quotes as a chaotic evil person. It's just the way he goes about it is more reasoned, rational, and justified over being psychotic and just doing it because you want to see the world burn to the ground. But the actions are the same result. It's just a different perception that you're giving. Because, and I understand that in a role-playing game, alignments are just boundaries. I've been in games where some GMs, like me, for example, I set up like rules on what I consider a lawful good person will not do and will do. If you don't want to play that alignment, then don't pick that alignment. Some GMs are really open with it. They're open to interpretation of it, while some are rather strict. It's all dependent on how the GM again perceives good or evil.
So in the scenario that we have down now, how would you view, how would a lawful good character handle that particular situation?
Okay, so me personally, it depends on my character, right? Like when I, especially me, I tend to play lawful good or chaotic good. Individuals. I like that. Or lawful neutral. Those are my three favorite alignments. For me, if I was playing a lawful good person, it's because I'm a paladin. But I'm not going to use a paladin in this scenario because I mean, paladins, I think, are extreme, even more so than the standard alignment of lawful good because they have oaths and honor bound and stuff like that. But a lawful good person, me personally, my character, would probably accept their surrender. I would accept their surrender with the condition that they give me certain information. And depending what they did, if these are just bandits, right? Like just everyday bandits that ambushed me, attacked me, then yes, I would accept their surrender. I probably wouldn't hang anyone, but I would definitely have them arrested and take and escort them or find someone that can take them to the nearest like prison or law or person in authority. If I was in the wild lands where there's none of that going on, then I have to assume that role and they would all be hung. All of them, or beaten, or cut off hands, or whatever it is that I felt was necessary to have proven my point. Maybe not kill them all, but definitely make an example of them so that they can see that law and justice is here and that valor has to overtake evil in this regard. Now, just again, we're assuming that the bandits are evil. If they're just poor, like people that are poor and hard on their luck, and they're robbing me because they don't even have shoes, then that's a little different from a bandit who is robbing me because he wants my sword and my gold and just killing me for the thrill of killing me or for the thrill of taking my stuff. Right? And all of these situations are dependent on how I'm going to react to them. If I was having a bad day and I just wanted to be different, I would probably hang them all as a lawful good person, especially if I was out in some place where they're like a jungle or a forest. Like, where Robin Hood's merry men are and taking them to a position of authority isn't realistic. well, then I'm going to justify my actions right then and there and do what needs to be done and hang them all. Would I accept their surrender? I could if I was going back to town, something like that. But let's say it was the beginning of the mission and I'm barely going into the woods. No, they're going to be executed in the name of law. Absolutely. I wouldn't enjoy it. I would read them their rights. I would let them say their last words. I would probably even cut them later and bury them and all of that. But they would be hung and they would be killed. That's me as an individual playing a lawful good person.
So what I wrote down, because I was trying to get consensus, so I merged what both you and Gray Tom said, and I have down accept surrender, get information, and hand them over to local authorities.
Yeah, and that's easy to say, Ed, but what if you were in a place of no law, like you're in the Badlands? Tell me what changes.
That's a good point. Yeah, because it brings up the paladin would be the law.
Because paladins, yep, lawful good people do not go crazy in a place where there's no law. They follow their moral ambiguity and the righteousness to do the right thing when no law is available. So now I ask you the same thing.
But right.
What do you do in this example?
And that's the thing. In this particular example, I would more than likely try to, just what we said, I would try to get information and hand them over to local authorities. If there are no local authorities, if I'm in the Badlands or I'm traveling, I would either, one, let them go after I've left. Or take them with me if I'm like, you know, let's say I'm a day's journey away from the nearest town. It really just depends. I don't feel like I kind of feel like in this situation, a lawful good person, once the person has surrendered, I kind of feel like good wise, there is no more combat. They've surrendered. You have the advantage. So really, they are kind of at your mercy. What are the rules of engagement? In most cases, when you surrender and say, I yield, you know, you expect it to be treated a certain way as a prisoner of war.
Correct.
So, you know, that just doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to kill you. But depending on what you did, now, the only way that would change for me is, let's say, and I'll come back to this. But what would change it for me is, let's say that after I accept their surrender, and let's say they killed half of the party, then I might say, okay, you killed all these people, you have to pay for that. And then I may dispense off justice.
Okay, well, let's say these bandits have been harassing the nearby village of a hamlet, been harassed and raping women and harassing them for years. This is you've been hired by a local liege lord to clear the bandits. And they ambush you as soon as you step off into the woods. No liege nearby for days. A group of women have been kidnapped, obviously for the joy of the bandits, and time is of the essence. Hey, what do you do now, Ed? I mean, I know it's a real specific, and we can what if this all day. But in this example, you would free them? That blows my mind. In what way are you being lawful?
Well, first of all, I did not say I would free them in this example. You're merging two separate points.
Right. So
this brings me back to what I was saying. I would put a pin in it, but I'll come back to it now. Is that perhaps if we're going to do this, maybe I just can't do one sentence example, because maybe you need a whole paragraph and fleshed out the entire scenario and give background history, because it seems like a lot of this can be taken on, you know, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if. In the scenario you just said, if time was of the essence, my job would be to find the ambushers or to find the people who are terrorizing the town. And then if they surrender, I would want to bring them back to the town. And let the town dispense justice.
Even though those minutes could be valuable and could cost an innocent person, a group of innocent women, their lives.
Well, I think
the job was to go and get them or find them. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit off topic here, because I think we're getting into a deep philosophical debate, which is not wrong or incorrect, but ultimately we're kind of doing this to get a benchmark for a potential app where it's going to go through and it's going to kind of kick out an alignment. So we're kind of looking at a surface layer. We're digging into some deep stuff. And I think this is definitely some good content for an in-depth podcast where we would talk about a particular alignment, because we're not going to, at this pace, we wouldn't get through nine of them tonight. Yeah, okay. You know, so it's, but I think I think this is giving me an idea that, hey, you know, there's different interpretations, and really brought up some really good points about how lawful good characters would work. Because there's some great short stories I've read about them, and it's not as cut and dry as sometimes it's perceived. Like, I'm the good cleric, I'm the good guy. Paladins, I should say, can be brutal because they have these oaths and they have this faith, and it's unwavering. There's no compromising there. But I think in terms of the app, I think it's like, okay, a lawful good character would typically do this. We get into the depth, and I really think we need to have a series of podcasts where we talk about each alignment in depth, because I think there's a really cool discussion to be had here, but I think we're going a little bit deeper than we need to for what our purpose tonight is.
Linking on to what you said, do you think we need to flesh out the questions a little bit more? Do you feel like you need more background information? Because you're right. On one hand, I do leave it a little ambiguous. And that's what I'm trying to do, because there are a bazillion scenarios, but I'm also trying to figure out on a whole, or the typical, not outlier alignment, how would they handle the situation?
Yeah, I think the question's okay. It's just, we're not trying to get into the deep moral discussion. It's just, you're attacked by some bandits. Okay, we wouldn't, without doing any investigation, we have these prisoners. What do we do with them right now? Yeah, we might investigate. Do we kill them right now? If we investigate, they find out that they've been raping and pillaging and setting fire to villages and harassing them. Yeah, these guys are probably hardcore evil, and we need to stop them. So that is something that will be dealt more swiftly. But I think just as it is, the example is good. It's just, okay, you've fought them off. Some of them have surrendered. Do you just wholesale slaughter them? You know, but, or do we say, okay, we'll try and take them prisoner and figure out what's going on, and we'll get more information, and then we'll make a decision there. But I think just the gut check of what a lawful good character would do at the time would be, okay, I'm not just going to slit all their throats after they've surrendered.
Yeah, I agree with Great Tom. I think he gave the best response of, we're setting up a benchmark. If that's what we're doing, setting up a benchmark, then I think it's safe to assume that yes, a lawful good person would take prisoners. He would save the life of another at great risk to himself. He would allow a disarmed enemy to pick up his weapon. He might even allow the enemy to remove dead or wounded from the battlefield. So these are the things that a lawful good person would do.
Yeah.
General consensus. I agree with you. I know that, yes, you could interpret it however you want, like you said, but I think for this, yes, a lawful good person's tendencies would be to accept their surrender in an honorable position and do his best to allow them due process and to not take life, because life is a valuable thing to a lawful good person, whether it's an evil person or not.
So, right, jumping right along, how would the lawful neutral person handle it?
Okay. Do you want to take this one, or you want? Because that's my favorite alignment, and me personally.
Yeah, I want you to take
it. Go for it, man. Yeah.
Okay, so a lawful neutral person. Okay. I'm gonna use a superhero reference here. Doctor Doom is lawful neutral. Okay. That's Judge.
He doesn't. Okay. Go ahead.
Trust me, he is Judge Dredd, lawful good.
Lawful neutral.
Sergeant Friday from the Dragnet television show with Jack Webb, lawful neutral. Right? And so lawful neutral is, to me, my favorite alignment, because the realm of evil and good really have no bearing. Because you're getting into the lawful portion of things. What matters is honor and order. And how you go about getting that has no bearing. Meaning you could be, your crimes, your penalties for people breaking laws and breaking and committing crimes could be severe, to cutting heads off, cutting hands off, brutalizing, Gestapo tactics, these things that you would look as suppressive, and not good and not democratic wouldn't matter to a lawful neutral person. What matters is order and organization. And they basically have, like, the lawful neutral people have personal codes of honor. And in this example, I think that a lawful good person, I mean, a lawful neutral individual with the bandits would probably accept their surrender because he's, I would, me personally, because he's honor bound. He would accept their defeat. He doesn't derive pleasure in hurting them or torturing them. He would absolutely use the most grotesque amount and despicable means of torture to get information, because that is what a lawful neutral person does. The means are justified always to a lawful neutral individual. So he would accept their surrender, would probably process them, probably pick the one that is the most knowledgeable, like the leader, whatever, and then basically tell him, probably in a very respectful manner, speak to him, you know, you're going to tell me what I want to know. If not, I'm going to force it out of you. And he might follow an escalation of force. First, you know, ask him. Maybe slap him around a little bit. He wouldn't go from 1 to 100 right away, but he would absolutely give him a chance. And then when he doesn't get the responses he wants, that the person's being disrespectful or is beyond the realm of reason, then the lawful neutral person would inflict as much harm, torture, as is required for him to get the information he needs, because he needs to bring order out of chaos at all costs, no matter what, dependent on the laws that have been established by the individual of the land. If there is none, then he would follow what would be his own personal code of justice for that, which would probably be bandits attack peasants, raping women and killing people is not very moral and not very good. And so he would probably treat them as trash, because lawful neutral individuals would hate pedophiles, rapists, because those are men without honor who have no bearing to anything that is full of discipline in life. So a lawful neutral person would probably do the same thing as a lawful good individual, but with the regard that he would have no objections to inflicting harm, threats, and even kill individuals simply for the sake of accomplishing his mission and what is required by the history and land and traditions that have been established by his lord. That's my whole thing.
What do you think, Gray?
I really think Ray hit that one nail on the head, because it's really, I think, about the personal code. Yes, they would accept the surrender out of their code of honor. But man, I wouldn't want to be those guys if it turned out that, okay, you know, I'm going to march you into the nearest town, and I find out that this group's been raping and pillaging and harassing these people for months or a longer period of time. The lawful neutral character, I think, yeah, Ray hit on there. That it's like, wait a minute, you guys have done this, these horrible acts, but you know, and then he would just say, you know what, you don't deserve to exist, and you know, take care of him right there. So they initially would accept their surrender, but yeah, he's not going to be nice to him. I think the lawful good character would be, okay, let's bandage their wounds, at least get them, treat them humanely until we get there. Whereas the lawful neutral is like, hey, you know, I'm doing you a favor by accepting your surrender. I didn't have to do that. And then march them off to town, you know, it just did, let them kind of deal with whatever wounds they may have. So, but I think Ray hit.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah. I think you really did it. So what I have is, would accept surrender and torture if necessary to get information.
Coolio.
All right. Moving right along. So our next one is the lawful evil person. So.
Go ahead, Tony. You start off on this one.
Okay. So you did such a good job of lawful neutral, man. This is kind of setting up hard for lawful evil. Okay, so I think with a lawful evil, I think the lawful one, it's even a lawful evil, would be inclined to accept the surrender. I don't think they've gotten to a moral compass where it's going to be like, no, I'm not going to accept it. But they would definitely, I think, look into what did they do. Like, okay, you've surrendered. They're not going to go out of their way to be kind to them. I think if they do anything to impede the group or threaten the safety of the remainder of the group, I think they could say, you know what, I'll make an example of it, keep quiet, or, you know, this will happen to the rest of you, and potentially kill one of the prisoners, depending on that. But I think they would initially accept surrender, because they do have kind of a code that they follow, or a loyalty, or something along those lines, where, you know, an honorable surrender, okay, I'm going to accept that, but don't cause any more problems, or else I'm going to end you. You know, I think, there's a scene, and I can't remember the character names in Predator, where, they're walking through the desert, and I can place the scene, but then one of the soldiers turns on one of the officers that came along, and he's like, you know what, I'll kill you right here if you keep ghosting us, is the term that he uses. And it's like, this guy's making mistakes that are giving away their position, and he's like, I'll end you right here. That I think is lawful, evil, methodology. He's got a certain honor-bound relationship to the rest of his teammates, and here's this person from the outside that's causing disruptions. So if any of the prisoners that they took caused problems or threatened the group, I think a lawful evil creature or character would take action to silence that and mitigate that threat. And that could involve using violence or torture to keep them quiet. So I think they're going to start bending that. They would accept the surrender, but wouldn't want to be these guys if they found out that I did something really bad.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they would accept the surrender as well. However, even with the surrender, I think they would actually kill one of them. And like make an example out of them.
Oh, I can see that.
Because it actually, in my eyes, it actually, they're still kind of following the law, and they're actually increasing their power by showing that, you know, that they're strong. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh yeah, I think so. I'm
trying to figure out the best way to do it. It's like they would be advancing their standing in the eyes of others. And they would have no problem eliminating who they would view someone as basically being weak, because, you know, you had to surrender. So I'm in the power. So I would probably accept, like, and I'm just throwing hypotheticals, like, but let's say there are multiple enemies. There are like four or five of them. I would probably accept all of the surrenders. And then based on judging who's who, I would probably kill either the strongest one or the weakest one. Whatever whim it was, but I would show them as an example. And then not only do I look like I'm good because I've stopped it, not necessarily good as in good, but I would look like I'm more powerful because I've intimidated them. So they have fear that they know I hold their lives in their hands. And then to the onlooker, you know, I'm upholding the law of the land. So my standing is kind of increased. But let's hear your thoughts on it, Ray.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this shout out for Tony. I know he's the big Trekkie. So when I think of lawful evil, I think of the Borg. The Borg is lawful evil.
Yeah, I would see. Yeah, I can see. By far,
they are the epitome of what lawful evil is. Lex Luthor from Superman, right? Not the movie, like Lex Luthor in the comics. Ultimate form of lawful evil, okay? A lawful evil person is someone who abides by the law because he hides behind it. Think of Peter, of Littlefinger. Peter Baelish in Game of Thrones. But he's also a prime example of what a lawful evil person is. They are calculating, they're intelligent, they understand that this is the worst kind of villain. This is the most difficult villain. The most mastermind of villains, because this is an individual who obeys the law, who follows the law, but he bends it. He doesn't break it. He bends it. He skirts around it. He finds loopholes. He hides behind the law. This is why Superman could never defeat Lex Luthor, because Superman is your lawful good paladin, while his villain is lawful evil Lex Luthor. And until Lex Luthor gets caught red-handed doing something, Superman will never, ever do anything to him, no matter what. Even if he kills his parents, he would never do it, because Lex Luthor is a mastermind. So in this example, right, the lawful evil person probably would accept their surrender, because the law probably dictates, again, this he would think, what is most beneficial to me? Let's say that the law says the bandits are wanted dead or alive. There's no, if there was more value to them alive, he would probably keep them alive. If they were more valuable, if there was the same, why deal with living bodies? To control them? To take time out of your schedule? Execute them, scalp them, put them in a bag, boom. You've accomplished your mission. You're still the hero of the land, and you got your gold, and you don't have to worry about getting stabbed in the middle of the night by five additional bandits. This is what a lawful evil person would do. Now, he does have a strong sense of code, of honor. Another villain that comes to mind that's lawful evil is Darth Vader in Star Wars. Darth Vader wasn't chaotic evil, even though he was a Lord of the Sith, right? He still hired bounty hunters, respected them. He obeyed authority when he had to, because he understood that his power and his authority and his intellect and his tactics comes from that society, from the laws that are being implemented. Would he torture them? Probably, if he thought that there was some benefit to it. Maybe they have some treasure, or maybe there's some calculating reason for him wanting to keep them alive. Maybe he could hire them. Maybe kill the strongest ones, like Ed said, and then keep the weakest ones to fear him and keep them as followers, as little birds to give them information, so he can put his tendrils and his hands around other bandits so that he could maybe, instead of killing the bandits, assume their position or perhaps make something worthwhile, like make them a merc company or something like that. This is the mind of a lawful evil person. So in this example, it'd be just about the same. He'd probably, again, dependent on the convenience, what the law was and what was supposed to happen, would dictate his actions. Either kill them right off, get his money, get his job, he enjoys it. There's nothing wrong with liking your work, even if it means torturing and killing them, rock and roll, or keep them alive because they're worth more alive, bring them in, or because maybe he fulfills a contract, right? He's a bounty hunter, right? And so I think of, what's that movie with Quentin Tarantino, the cowboy movie, where he always brings them in, no matter what.
I was thinking the same thing. I forget what his name is. Hans, something or other.
Yeah, I mean, right? He always brings him in. I was thinking of the other one, the Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. I didn't see Hateful Eight.
Okay, the Hateful Eight. Samuel Jackson's character is a bounty hunter, and he never, ever, ever kills any of the people he's going after. 100%. He's known as the guy who will always bring the bad guy in, no matter how horrible of a crime he's committed.
So that wasn't Samuel L. Jackson character, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Kurt Russell. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so, you know what I mean? And so, like, same thing here. So, if this was his code, like, if he was a bounty hunter and he had this code of bringing them in alive no matter what, at all costs, could not be bribed, could not be, you know, seduced, because this is his law and this is his code. And it's what's required of him, because that's what keeps him in business. That's what gives him the right to kill and to break into people's houses and to do what needs to be done, because he's serving a warrant in the name of law. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So the scenario is pretty much the same for a lawful evil person in this example, because it's so direct of a confrontation.
So right now I have accept, surrender, will torture, and even kill to get information. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's lawful evil.
Yep. Especially if he could advance himself. Yeah, absolutely. If he could gather information to make him more successful in whatever endeavor he was doing, he would absolutely have no moral ambiguity to doing atrocities against these individuals. None at all. Pulling out nails, pulling out tongues, burning out eyeballs, that kind of stuff.
Neutral good. Let's go back to the good side.
Where do you want to take this one? Well, you took. Do you want me? Let's start with loot for the evil. You want to take this one?
Okay, sure. All right. Okay, so neutral good. Okay, so neutral good is like my least favorite alignment, because in my opinion, neutral good is pretty much the person who minds his business, but is inherently a good person inside. And we all know that nice guys finish last. right? So neutral good is that alignment. It's the alignment that works with people. He accepts the law, tries to do the right thing because he believes in karma. He believes that his actions are dictated by his moral code. Not a code of honor, but doing the right thing. This is, I think, what most people attempt to try to do. Lawful good is going above that. It's being so pious that it's almost religious, right? It could be seen as a religious thing. When we think law, when I think lawful good, I think someone who's like pious, like a priest, like a Catholic priest, right? Or I think of someone who, you know, I think of Mother Teresa. That's lawful good to me, right? But neutral good is an individual who just goes through life and does the right thing, because if good doesn't do something, evil will just continue on, you know, and they try to do the right thing. They don't try to, in this scenario, they would absolutely take prisoners, in my opinion. They would take prisoners, they would treat them according to the law. And if something, if like maybe there was someone in there, like Ed in an example said that they had killed a large part of the party or killed loved ones of him, his emotions would probably overtake him. And he would maybe execute one or two as a form of justice to his friends, because he's so honor-bound to his friends, a sense of loyalty that comes from that. Because good needs to win. And so the neutral good person would be this individual.
Are you saying neutral good person would kill them?
No. A neutral good person would absolutely accept their surrender.
Right, okay.
The best person I could think of a neutral good, as much as I hate to say it, is Spider-Man from Marvel Comics. Especially in the new movie. If you haven't seen the new movie, the way he is in that is the epitome of neutral good.
And I actually like neutral good characters. And so I think that in this scenario, the neutral good would definitely actually accept the surrender. And would, for the most part, make sure that he's treated accordingly until he's like handed over to the authorities or whatever is done to him.
Yes. But, you know, I think what needs to be mentioned is that they are not lawful good. A lawful good person would go out of their way to help a chaotic evil person. Maybe they can be redeemed, right? A lawful good person would be like, oh my God, he's chaotic evil. Well, maybe if we send him to prison and give him correction and education, we could redeem his soul. A lawful good person would go out of their way to try to help a chaotic evil person. Oh my God, you need to be redeemed. You need to see the light. This needs to happen. A neutral good person would not. A neutral good person would see him as an evildoer who needs to be brought to justice. So you have to understand that neutral good is not as pious or as saintly, and I use these words specifically for lawful good, while a neutral good person would not.
Well, in the scenario that you just gave, like a lawful good person would defend, say, a chaotic evil person if the law was kind of like on their side.
Yes,
I don't necessarily think it's pious, but like a neutral good person, they have, like, you know, they in my opinion, they value life. And so there are certain things that they just won't do. Like, they normally don't attack people who are like unarmed.
Yeah, and that's correct. But let's
and
say
they're not gonna hurt
let's
the innocent.
Say, let's say,
and go ahead.
You know, and you're right. But let's say they're evil bandits. Like, and what I mean by evil, and I know it's so subjective, but let's say their alignment is chaotic evil. All 10 of the bandits are chaotic evil, right? Just despicable individuals that are just beyond the realm of humanity. They do inhumane things because that's what they do, right? They're worshiping a chaotic evil god. Who doesn't matter. Come up with your own scenario. A lawful good person would, you're right, follow the law, hence the word lawful good. A neutral good person would not have to. Now, he's not robbing, that's different, but he's a shepherd, right? You've got the wolf, you've got the shepherd, and you have the sheep. A neutral good person is the shepherd. He would protect his flock. He would protect the people and deliver justice to evildoers, because, yes, he would try to do the right thing.
See, of course, and that's where we kind of differ. I'm following up until when you said he would deliver justice. No, I don't think, I would think that he would make sure that their life was just as much value. Once they became his prisoners, their life is just as much value as, say, the rest of the party.
Okay.
And that it should be, you know, basically all life is kind of like precious.
Okay. No, see, and I get that. But okay, look, again, I know we're kind of getting deep and philosophical about it, but let's look at what was that prince, that king that nobody liked in Game of Thrones? The son
Joffrey.
Joffrey.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's look at Joffrey. A lawful good person and a neutral good person. Okay? The lawful good person would obey King Joffrey unless he committed an evil act that he witnessed right there on the spot. He may not like him. He may suspect him of being a scumbag, like as we all know him to be. But a lawful good person would, because the king is allowed to do whatever he wants according to Game of Thrones, as we know him, right? A neutral good person would not. A neutral good person was Ned Stark, who would speak against it without even thinking of the consequences, because a neutral good person actively seeks good. He would have to speak out in the name of injustice. He's the one who raises his hand and says, what you're doing is wrong. I don't agree with it. And you know what? And you can do your thing, king, but you're not my king. You're not my king. And I would rather be without a king than obey your word, because I know that you're a despicable, evil, and vile person and would probably leave the kingdom. While a lawful good person, although might find them despicable, who might find them horrible, would listen to the king. And the movie I show you to show this is The Man with the Iron Mask, with D'Artagnan in it, played by Gabriel Byrne, and his king, which was played by, what's the name of that actor?
Oh, is that Joaquin Phoenix? Joaquin?
Yeah, babe, what's the name of that actor? Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's it, okay. Yeah, I was thinking Lauren.
Okay,
person.
That's
yeah.
An example of D'Artagnan being lawful good and listening to his king, because he's lawful good. But, oh,
yes.
He can be saved. He can be saved. He can be saved. Even though he knew he was treating women that way. And even though he knew deep down inside that that guy was plotting against his friends and everything, he's lawful good. There's goodness in him. I see it.
Okay. So two things. First of all, for those of you who are listening, there are actually two articles posted on Evolving RPG. And in one of those articles, we break down the different lawful alignments for Game of Thrones characters. And lawful good would be Sir Davos. Neutral good would be Brianna. No. I'm sorry. Chaotic good
You're way off on that. Sir Davos would be lawful neutral.
Nope. They have him listed as lawful good. Lawful neutral.
Sir Davos. The onion knight?
Sir Davos, yes. Lawful neutral. There's two lawful neutrals. One is I don't remember his name, but Baratheon's brother.
Stannis?
The other one is Eddard Stark.
No way.
Yes way.
I disagree completely. Ned Stark.
True neutral would be Theon Greyjoy. Chaotic neutral would be the no one man. Lawful evil would be the Lannister's father. Neutral evil, that crazy dragon guy, and chaotic evil, which you got, was Sir Joffrey. But I said all that to say this, was that in the example you were going, because you were really going on a tangent, is that in some cases, lawful good characters, if they don't like laws and they don't think they're just, they will work within the system to get said laws changed. They don't necessarily say, oh, I'm just going to go with it blindly.
Exactly.
But they will work to get it changed.
So what would a neutral good person do then in that example?
Well, if they feel like the laws is wrong and being manipulated, then they go outside of the law.
Exactly. Exactly. Hence the thing with the bandits. Why wouldn't you apply that same example with the bandits?
Well, because you also have their code where they're once the bandits are basically accepted as prisoners, they are to be treated a certain way. Their life is just as valuable. Until they do something that forfeits their life, like, you know, like you know, I guess trying to slit the throats of somebody or something like that. But as long as they're a prisoner and are acting accordingly, I don't see a neutral good character. Number one, they would not even think about torturing them. They would probably want to give them to the local authorities just as the same as the lawful people, but their mission would be, I want to make sure they're treated. The difference I see is that while, like, the some of the lawful say, like, you know, I'm going to take you to the local authority, like, let's say lawful neutral, lawful evil, the neutral good character will actually say, do you need something to eat? Do you want something to drink? Maybe the lawful good may give them something, but I think they're more centered around all life is precious. That's kind of how I view it, is that they would more than likely accept the surrender and then kind of would be, like how you said, a shepherd to them, because now they're under my charge. I just feel like they are truly, or let's go back to your analogy you said earlier. They are the Spider-Man. They are truly the goody two-shoes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody should, you know, get a chance. So that's kind of how I feel.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree. I do agree with you that they would take the prisoners. They would watch over them. But I think that a neutral good person, especially if, like, these bandits were working within the limits of the law. Let's say they were all lawful evil, and he knew that they were still committing these atrocities. He would do what needed to be done to stop them. And in that example, would he still take them prisoner, knowing that they would be free because the authority is corrupt? No, he wouldn't. A neutral good person wants good to prosper. And yes, he would try to stay within the confines of the law. He would do his best to be moral in these decisions. But I think the neutrality in him would allow him to commit certain things. I'm not going to say crimes, but allow him to step out of the bounds of those to get justice and to get good where there is none, because evil's just kind of running rampant. But that's my opinion. Tony, you've been kind of quiet. Let's hear your opinion on this one.
No, I
break the tie, dude. Break the tie.
I really did think, now I have not seen the new Spider-Man movie, so I can't really put it in context. But in a typical thing with Peter Parker, I think that is a good moral gauge for neutral good, that they really do try to help the people. You know, Spider-Man wouldn't kill anyone no matter how bad the circumstances are. But he's not beyond, you know, getting into a good brawl with someone. I mean, he's had some pretty brutal fights. So he's not weak in that regard, but I think he definitely would look at it. I think a neutral good person would look at, okay, what can I do to help? And, you know, okay, these are things that I can do within the means available to me to help out. But at a certain point where I think some of the difference between the neutral good and the lawful good is going to be like, the lawful good will go beyond their means, their capabilities. You're like, hey, I'll put myself at great risk. Where I think a neutral good character is going to try to help, but then at a certain point, they're like, well, they're going to hold back and not stick their own neck out. Like I said, they'll work within a system to change it. But again, that's where a neutral good would, yeah, they would definitely take a surrender. But if the party is saying, well, no, we're not going to, maybe, you know, there's they have a more evil bend to the group, I don't think the neutral good person is going to really stick it out. They might say, hey, guys, they surrendered peacefully. And then everyone's like, no, you know, like, these people deserve justice, or, you know, it's like, there's no law here. I don't think the neutral good character is really going to get up there and really debate and fight them. They're going to kind of go with the group and just say, okay, hey, I did what I could. I tried. I put my two cents in, but the group overruled. So.
And I agree with that. They should. But I can definitely agree with that point, that chances are they're not going to stick their neck out or stick their well-being out over that. So that being said, what do you think about this? They will accept surrender, will not torture, and ensure the prisoner's well-being while in their charge.
To the best of their ability, I think. Because I think if the group challenges it, the group wants to
best
get information from
their
it.
ability.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting into a fight with the whole group to take on the group to defend them. Whereas a good character would probably do that.
I think a decent benchmark. Again, you have to understand that a neutral good person does not like organization. He doesn't like politics or government. And you're putting him in that category, in my opinion. The lawful good person, a lawful good paladin would look at a neutral good person as a criminal on the way they approach things. A lawful good paladin would consider Robin Hood a villain because he's stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. End of discussion. Period. A lawful good paladin would bring Robin Hood to justice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You cannot justify that any way at all. A neutral good person would follow and believe in Robin Hood, right?
So, like, oh, absolutely. I think you have a good point.
Right?
There.
His merry men are neutral good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, I just want to stress that neutral good do not like politics, they do not like red tape, they do not like government, which means that they would rarely influence the community. They don't do things for the community. They help the community when they're in need. You know, the hero who comes in to save the day, or when things are so bad, something needs to be done. That's the neutral good person.
I often view the neutral good people as the people, where they actually like people or well beings. I view like neutral goods as they would be like your diplomats. Or your PR people, where, you know, they love people, they like interacting, working with people. And so, I mean, I get the whole Robin Hood thing. I don't know what Robin Hood would necessarily be, alignment wise.
He'd be chaotic good.
Yeah, I would think chaotic good.
By far.
Because I guess with that scenario with the lawful good paladin, there are so many other people that are outside of the law. I mean, you got three alignments that stick with lawful, and then you have six that are not lawful.
Yes.
Not all of them are necessarily breaking the law.
Yes, and not neutral good is not lawful. You can't do that. You cannot say that the lesser evil gets any less punishment than the greater evil.
No. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that if a neutral good character walks into town and gets a drink, and there's a law in the land that says, I'm trying to think something up off the top of my head, but a law in the land that says it's okay to drink alcohol, I don't think they care one way or the other. I don't think a paladin is going to be breathing down his neck or breathing down their neck because of that. I just think, well, number one, I'm going to go back to our original statement at the beginning of this podcast. I think we're getting really specific.
Yeah.
And there could be so many different shades, because I really do think, and this is for anyone who's listening to this, I really do think that when we actually play the game, though I like playing neutral good for the most part, there's sometimes I want to say there's a sliding scale where sometimes I'll behave more lawful in certain situations, and then sometimes I may behave more chaotic, because one person, I don't think anyone can just stick with one alignment.
No, I think that's I think Ray talked about that a lot. It really does depend. You know, lawful character depends on how you rationalize I guess rationalize would be the best word I would think of at the point. How do you rationalize the action your character is taking with the given alignment? It's just how do you justify what you're doing? So there's a wide spectrum of lawful good, you know. It's not goody two shoes, like, oh, I'm afraid. No, it doesn't work that way. So
great. Take us into true neutral.
True neutral, again, you know my feelings on this one. People who listened to the first podcast know the true neutral character would be sitting, rocking back and forth in the center of the street, unable to make any decision. This is personally my least favorite alignment anywhere, which is why last time I brought up the Palladium book where they said, sorry, regardless of the philosophical debate, no true neutrals. You've got to fall somewhere on the spectrum. But because you're making me do this next to that, and I told you I would do these things, I will contribute something. So basically, as much as I disagree with it, but true neutral is going to basically kind of go with the whims of the time. So I could kind of see true neutral saying, okay, if we have a nearby town and I can dump these people off and they can get turned over to an authority, I'll accept their surrender. If, like Ray said, they're in the wilds or the badlands, it's like, these guys could compromise us at any point in time. True neutral may not be. I think this is where we get to the alignment where now we're not necessarily accepting surrender. It's going to be based on the situation. If it looks more risky, I think true neutral would have no problem serving the throats of the ambushers and then moving along because, you know what, I'm not dealing with it. So I think true neutral is really going to be situational. What do we got? Can I get them to somewhere else with the minimum inconvenience to me? They're going to kind of vary, just depend on what the circumstances are. They're not going to take on a burden out of the kindness of their hearts because they're like, hey, it's not my responsibility. You guys did this. We're in the middle of nowhere. I can't afford to drag you along. We're going to a quest or we're doing something else. I think true neutral may or may not. It's a 50-50 shot depending on the circumstances of whether or not they would accept the surrender.
I feel that they would accept the surrender. I kind of feel like it's a 50-50 chance of whether or not they would torture, though. It depends on if they needed the information. And if they did the torture, it would be more like, you know, to some of what Ray said, like Friday, you know, just the facts. Just give me what I need to know. I'm not getting any pleasure or anything. I just need this information if they were to do the torture. But I think above all else, it would be their best interest that they would have in mind.
Interesting.
Chime in there.
Okay, so I think, Tony, I think both of you are kind of right. True neutral is one of my least favorite alignments as well. Actually, my least favorite alignment is neutral good. Probably, I would say chaotic neutral. And then true neutral, in that order, my top three disliked alignments.
So that's why you always attacking me. But in your game.
But okay, so here you go. Here's what I think. I think Tony said it best. Like when I think of a true neutral person, they see good and evil, law and chaos as extremes, right? So they are the middle of that. So they would be like a logical individual, a rational person. What would a rational person do in certain situations? Like, would Lord of the Fly stuff be okay if you were in a situation where it demanded Lord of the Fly behavior? If you were in a zombie apocalypse, would a true neutral person adapt to a situation? Yes, he would, based on the situation. He doesn't do it because it's good. He doesn't do it because it's bad. He doesn't do it because it's required by law or because of some stupid honor. He does it because he's in the middle of it. He's the most balanced and the most rational of all the alignments, which is weird because when you think of rationality, that's not really falls under alignments. That shouldn't be an alignment criteria, but it is because they lack conviction. They lack compulsion. They lack all of those things. The character that comes to mind to me, I want to say this recently because I just was reading a little bit about it, is Tom Bombadil in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember in the story, Lord of the Rings, I believe Frodo tells him, why don't you take the ring? Because there were only like a certain amount of people who could have the ring. And Tom Bombadil was one of the few who could actually hold onto the ring. And Frodo actually says, well, why don't we give it to him? And you know what Gandalf says to him? He goes, because he is a man of no interest, no conviction. He will simply lose interest in it, and the ring would lose itself and find another possessor.
That's- I just want, let me add on right to what you're saying, but that I just read this. Well-known true neutral characters from film or literature include The Watchers from Marvel Comics.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Horace Slughorn from from Harry Potter. I have no idea who that is.
I have no clue who that is.
And Tom Bombadil from Lord of the Rings.
Did you guys read Harry Potter?
I'm sorry?
Did you guys read Harry Potter books?
No, I didn't.
No, I read some.
Professor Slughorn is?
No.
Come on, guys.
Is that the big giant guy?
No, I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering right. Do you remember the movies on Deathly Hallows Part 1, I believe?
I only saw like the first three movies and then I haven't seen
them. Okay. Yeah, I know which one is. That would be true neutral. So,
but I was just adding that they agree with you, Ray, that Tom Bombadil would be considered.
I mean, right? So, like, this true neutral person would not be motivated by anything other than what is the most rational, logical. And again, these are two things, adjectives, that shouldn't be used to control your behavior. But they are in the true neutral example, in my opinion. Because you should never say... Like, that's like saying a lawful good person has to be saintly or pious. He doesn't necessarily have to be that.
Right.
Right. You wouldn't say that about all lawful neutral people. But for the true neutral, I think it's almost required. You know what I mean? The true neutral person would just kind of like, okay, so he just got attacked by these bandits. He overcomes them. They surrender. Okay. Well, what's the most rational thing? If it's him by himself, no one's nearby, then he would take them prisoner, sure.
Or well, for the example, we have a party. We don't say what the party is, but we do have a party.
Okay, so then he might just disinterest himself from it. Yeah, he'll defend himself because he values his life, of course. But then when it comes time to what are we going to do with them? He wouldn't even have a vote. He would probably be that annoying guy that says, hey, you know what? I'll go with whatever you want. I'll go with majority. Oh, okay, well, it's a tie. We can't make up our minds. Well, you know, it's not really my place to decide their fate. Who am I to say that? One of you, you're the leader, Ed. You can take my vote. That's what a true neutral person would do. And that annoyance of neutrality is what makes that alignment so awesome, because it's the most natural it's what I think us as human beings strive to be. To be rational and calm and collected, and to make the most wise decision based off of what's happening in your situation. But that's not who we are as individuals. Everyone wants to categorize themselves as either a good person, a bad person, or a semblance of both, you know, a Han Solo. Not some people like Han Solo, some people want to be Superman, some people want to be Batman. All different alignments, right? Depending how
I'm Batman.
How you view yourself, right? So I get it, but the true neutral person, yeah, he would just be like, if he was in a group, he'd be like, oh, okay, well, it's whatever you decide. I'm not going to worry about them. They're not my concern. But we need your vote. Well, again, I'm not the keeper or owners of them. My job was to stop the bandits. We did that. I got paid for a service. I needed the money so that I could continue to do whatever this is. I'm a painter. I needed painting materials. So I needed to make some money. I'm good with the sword, and it was the best thing to do at the time. High value, low risk. You know, that's a true neutral person. I don't know. That's the best way I can describe it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Would agree with the majority and show very little interest in their fate.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, I think that's it. Because even though you guys haven't read Harry Potter, which I think is a travesty. But I haven't finished Game of Thrones books with Song of Fire and Ice, so I. I'm one to talk, but I think like in case where they said Slughorn was true neutral, he's a character who's approached by Death Eaters and by Dumbledore to try and recruit him to either one of their sides, and he basically just hides. He doesn't confront either side. He basically looks at it like Ray said, from a very rational standpoint, like, I just want to survive. I'm not looking to take sides. I don't want to get mixed up in this. I'm not looking to pick sides in a fight. And he's kind of drawn into one side of it. But he really he tries to do everything he can to avoid having to join one side, because joining one side is going to make him an enemy of the other, and he doesn't want that. So,
yeah,
I kind of like what Ray was saying about that. So,
yeah, the indecisions is what makes him his alignment, not being able to choose a side. So, I mean, everyone has to choose a side, everyone. And to think that you can be in the middle is absurd to me.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't like that alignment. So.
So
Oh, to answer your question on whether he would torture, he would. I think that a tor I think I don't think he would actively want to torture them. He wouldn't be concerned enough unless his goal required specific information. Like if he needed a location of their lair, he would say, well, look, I need the location of your lair. Well, we're not going to give it to you. Well, you know, I really need to find the lair because I'm under contract and I want to be home by Sunday. And so, you know, like, so I'm going to get it from someone.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
and he wouldn't be malicious, but I think that he would do like you said, just the facts. He would try he would work his way up. He would only do as little effort as necessary to get what he wants. If that means just verbal talking, great. If they were too disciplined and too hard because they like disliked him, then I think he would get harder as well. And he would, again, adapt to his situation to accomplish his goal, because his goal is kind of the whole point. It's not that he's, and again, I don't want to say that he's goal-oriented, but it's his rationality of what he's doing in life. I think the misconception of true neutral, I remember in the old, for those who play second edition, remember when the druid had to balance things in second edition because he was true neutral? I remember players getting crazy with that. Oh, well, I have to balance things. I have to balance. The players are too good and killing all the bad guys, so I need to free some of them. What? Like, remember that? I'm not making this up.
You know, I didn't play that much of second edition, and I wasn't playing druids then.
If you play a druid in second edition, it literally says in their description that they have to balance, like, life, the life rebirth cycle. And if that ever tips, if that ever tips the scales, that is the direction the druid must go. And you're like, what? Okay. Like, so I think that, for those of us that are old enough who played second edition, sort of carried that over into true neutral. People think true neutral is, oh, I can do what I want, like left or right. No, it's being indifferent to it to such a degree that you're almost indecisive or simply not caring enough to make a decision because it doesn't concern you. Unless it concerns you specifically.
So we have four more to go. So I think we'll be able to knock these four out, but I think we're only going to get one question done today. Yeah, but that's fine, though. That's fine, because there's no rush on when we make this app, and we're actually making good.
There's no reason why we can't go to another question. We don't have to say the same question. I mean, especially.
No, I feel like we should get the question, and each time we hash this out, I mean, some of the sidebar discussions we had has been really helpful. So, but. Yeah, it's okay. It's not going to cost us any extra money to do an extra podcast. So, neutral evil. Now, okay, so I know what you all are thinking, especially when I just said neutral evil. But let's think about this. How would a neutral evil person handle this scenario?
I think neutral. Well, Ray, do you want to take it?
Mine's going to be short and sweet. I'm not going to make a big one. I don't think there's going to be much argument about this one. So, in my opinion, of all the alignments, that's the most evil. Neutral evil is the worst.
I agree.
It is the truest form of evil, because, and let me just justify me as I jump to another alignment here. Chaotic evil is like psychotic. He's a psychotic individual. A chaotic evil person, I guess, I don't want to say a chaotic evil person because so many people will argue that. But when I think of Mad Max, the second one, the Road Warrior, the guy with the mohawk who like just wanted to hurt people, right? Who was like crazy. I know you could argue he's chaotic neutral, but I always considered him chaotic evil, right? Wow. He wanted people to suffer. He enjoyed making people suffer and that kind of thing. And so...
I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you for 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
Just for chaotic evil, and I think I'll do this for all of them. But some well known, because I found this other site, well known chaotic evil characters from film or literature include Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, really?
The Joker from DC Comics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter, and the Lore from Star Trek. Oh, that Lore was Data's brother, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So chaotic evil. Yes. Chaotic evil is the, I was going to say the Joker, but some people, I've seen people argue about the Joker being chaotic neutral. But no, he is chaotic evil. So yes, okay, so let's use the Joker. The Joker is chaotic evil by
far, right? The question was for neutral evil, though.
Yeah, I know that. But I think it's important for you to dictate like the difference, because chaotic evil is psychotic crazy. It's you're doing things just to see the world burn, right?
Yeah.
The best line is between Batman and his butler in The Dark Knight, when he's like, some people just are beyond reason. Some people are just evil for the world, for the sake of being freaking evil. A neutral evil person is a calculated, he's not a mastermind. He's just, he inherently pushes evil.
Right. I think
of the Emperor from Star Wars.
Let me go ahead and do those too. Well-known neutral evil characters from film or literature include Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars, Khan Noon Sung from Star Trek.
Really? Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Saruman from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Peter Pettigrew from Harry Potter. I have no idea who that is.
I don't know either.
And Lex Luthor. And Lex Luthor from DC Comics.
I don't know. I see Lex Luthor as a lawful evil, but that's just me. But yeah. Okay,
back to your point, they're calculating.
Yeah, I mean, a neutral evil person. I guess the word is wicked. They're wicked, man. You know what I mean? Like the Green Mile, the guy that was like unruly, who could like do whatever he want, who everyone was scared of, because he was like that guy was just a mean bastard. It's a mean person, like a mean drunk. It's just someone who kills for pleasure. He does it for the self-gratification of doing things. He's evil simply because it brings him pleasure. And when you are committing evil for pleasure, to me, that is the most intense form of evil. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will do whatever is required simply for the sake of wanting, not even to cause chaos, because that's chaotic evil. They're not causing chaos. They're just doing everything they can to advance themselves any which way they deem necessary. Any way, screwing over friends, family, it doesn't matter to them. They're without honor. They're without concept of laws. They simply care about themselves and are the extreme version of that. A person who is like that, in my opinion, is evil, is the most evil, the most vile. I think that's a good word, the most vile alignment, the most hated alignment of them all. Chaotic evil, you know, the Joker, all right, got it. Chaos, you know, just to get a laugh out of things, you know, he's a psychotic killer, not thinking with his mind. Yes, he's a mastermind, a master criminal, I got it. But I mean, he's the Joker, right? He has this weird sense of a perversion of things, but a neutral good, a neutral evil person, man. You know what I mean? Like, okay, here's an example of chaotic evil, in my opinion, and neutral evil. Joffrey is chaotic evil, and Roose Bolton, right? I think that's his name, Roose Bolton? Yeah, the guy who was killed by the dog in Game of Thrones, he would be neutral evil.
He could go chaotic evil.
He could.
I mean, he could clearly go either way.
Yes, he could. But the difference was that he was calculating, and he was like he enjoyed what he did. To him, it was an art. He had, you know what I mean? Like he was all about screwing people over. He understood that. And unlike Joffrey, who was like a big puss and kind of like was hiding behind people, right? A despicable person. Got it. But like Ruth was, man, that dude was ruthless. Ruthless. He fought. He was strong, and he could still fight in the front lines, and was just as bad, if not worse, than Joffrey. So yeah. Okay,
so you really laid down a good foundation. So yeah. How would they handle the situation?
So a neutral evil person, again, we're talking generic benchmark, would absolutely not accept their surrender. In fact, he would probably even encourage surrender. If you drop your arms now, I'll keep you alive. And they drop their weapons. And kill them all. That is what a neutral evil person would do. So torturing would not even be a thing. He would probably kill some of them, and just for the sheer pleasure, whether they even know, like he would torture, like I think, what was it, Han Solo said it. What did they ask you? They didn't even ask me any question. He tortured me. That is what a neutral evil person would do. He would torture people just to hear their screams, throughout the night as he's having his Chianti with fucking lava beans. You know what I mean? Like, that is what a neutral evil person would do. That's it. I'm done with that.
Gray.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I can't think, like, especially with Peter Pettigrew, in the books, he, you know, spoiler alert, but, you know, he's kind of a biblical character with a major betrayal that he puts forward. And there's a conversation between Sirius Black and Peter Pettigrew where he's like, you know, I would have died before compromising my friends. Peter Pettigrew obviously doesn't feel that way, and really kind of puts his own, you know, safety above anything else, and whatever he has to do to protect himself, he's willing to do, which means betray good friends of his. So I think a neutral evil character definitely would be one that, you know, if there's no advantage to them taking prisoners, then there's no need for prisoners. You know, it's just, and I think Roy really hit it on the nail on the head where he's like, hey, if you drop down your weapons, I'm going to kill you, and then just go ahead and do it. Like, you fools, you know, you believe that, you know, so I don't think a neutral evil character is going to accept surrender. If they do take prisoners, yeah, and they want information, they have no qualm doing whatever they need to do to get whatever information they need out of them. That there is no compassion. There's no concern for order or what society thinks. It's simply, I have an objective. Are you in the way of that objective? Or do you have something that would help me accomplish that objective? That's the beginning and the ending of their usefulness. That's my take on it.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I have would not accept surrender, would kill them, would tell them to surrender and kill them unarmed.
Yep. I don't think we all agreed on that. It's funny how we all agree on neutral evil.
Yeah, sorry.
But we can't seem to agree on neutral good, which is the polar opposite of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. That's insane.
It's a weird thing. Sorry.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we're so quick to say what evil is, but then it's so difficult to define what good is.
I think so. Yeah,
so,
I think. Yeah.
So my question is that we're and maybe we'll wait till after we finish the last three, which are all chaotic. But in which scenario would it be, or which alignment would it be, that if the people surrendered and they're taken prisoners, and then while everyone slept, the person goes and slit their throats?
I could see a neutral evil doing that. Definitely a chaotic evil. I think you could even make a lawful neutral argument for that, because, yep, you know, some of the elements may not want to challenge the group. We all know a ranger that is in a group of ours that didn't want to confront the group, so went to scout ahead. The group leaves these prisoners behind. He, being the ranger, circles back and dispenses his own form of justice, completes that circle back around, resumes point, we're none the wiser, you know, because he used it. But that was his own personal, you know, moral code. So I think it just depends on, is the character going to want to take on four or five other allies? He may not agree with them. Maybe he thinks that they're naive, and quietly takes care of it. So.
In my opinion, there's only, three alignments that would not do that. Like, slit their throats in the middle of the night after an agreement or whatever. The three alignments that would not cut their throats, in my opinion, would be lawful good, lawful evil, and probably neutral good. All the other alignments, I think, could justify it just off of a simple generic benchmark of their alignment.
So yeah, we're moving on to the next alignment, but you, in just what you're saying, the next alignment is chaotic good. You can see a chaotic good person saying that, you know, basically we got you as prisoners, and while the party sleeps, they would slit the throat of the person. Chaotic good.
Well, I like to play chaotic good a lot, because it really focuses, I kind of feel my interpretation is that it's the character, the player, is their own moral compass. What they kind of feel is, and the way I play chaotic good may be different than what another player would use for chaotic good. But, you know, that sense of order you know, and what law needs to be done. I play it in a little bit softer line where it just seems like, hey, my character has kind of a moral compass of what they think and define is right and wrong, depending on the circumstances. So I look at it less from, well, what does the overall society say? What does the local law say? It's like, well, what do I think is right in this situation? What do I think I want to do? So that's why I like playing chaotic good.
Let me just interject right quick to tell you this part. Well-known chaotic good characters from film or literature include Han Solo from Star Wars, Batman from DC Comics, Fred and George Weasley from Harry Potter, and Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, yep. Okay. So I agree with Tony on this one. I think the key words that you need to look for in chaotic good is kind, right? Like, to me, I think of a kind person. What he morally thinks is the right thing, right? That is a chaotic good person. Everything else doesn't matter. It's those two things which drive him and motivate his actions to do things. Hence Robin Hood, the injustice of Sherlock, of not the Sheriff of Nottingham and overtaxing people not being able to eat so that the rich can continue to prosper. So he's going to steal from the people. He didn't steal from what I remember, he did not steal from people who earned their money in a lawful way. He stole from people who didn't deserve it, who he felt, you're a bastard, but you're okay. You earned your money hard and fair and square. You were always a fair man, treated my family good. You're a good guy. You're good. Even though you're rich, you're good. But you, who did not deserve the way you got your money because you're feeding your leech, and the way, you know, it's these things that you look at people. You as an individual, you're a pedophile. You're the worst kind of monster. This is the chaotic good person. The chaotic good person, more important than anything else, values its personal freedom and the ability to be kind. This is why I think Han Solo, to me, is the epitome. The next up chaotic good, they should have Han Solo written. Because Han Solo is this individual, right? He's a space pirate. He's a smuggler. But in the end, you know, loyalty, friends, the things that make you this hearty individual that made Han Solo so awesome is because he's chaotic good. He just wanted to be left alone. I don't believe in the system of the Empire. The Empire sucks, you know? They're up to no good. This is how I ended up with this Wookiee. By the name of Chewbacca, because you know he was a slave, and slavery, you know, for those who don't know the story of Han Solo, he was an officer in the Imperial Navy. When he saw Chewie, Chewbacca being treated and all these Wookiees being enslaved, he freed them. He freed all these individuals, or at least that section of Wookiees. Saved his life, and that's why the Wookiee had the life debt with Han Solo.
I don't have anything down for chaotic good because you guys haven't given me anything.
So would he capture them if they surrendered? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Because he does not harm innocents, because that's the morally good thing to do.
Yeah.
He pursues goodness because it's inherently his way of doing things. I'm a good person. Would he torture them? Probably. Would he torture them to get information if they were evil? Absolutely he would.
No. I would say he would rough them up, but he won't torture them.
Okay.
There's a difference between torture and roughing somebody. Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's crap. Don't give me that. No.
I think there is.
If I waterboard you and beat the crap out of you, it's the same thing, Ed.
Waterboarding would be torturing.
Oh, my God. Ed, let's not get into the thing.
Batman would hold somebody over a 40-story building. Torture is torture.
Yes.
That's roughing up.
That is torture, Ed.
Here's the thing. With the way, and I'm gonna use Batman example.
Okay.
When Batman, and I'm quoting, roughing somebody up, whenever he roughs somebody up, that person knows without a shadow of a doubt, unless the Dark Knight took a twist for the worse, he's not going to kill them. whatever he does, they are not going to die. When you get tortured, when you get tortured, you're thinking, oh my God, I could die if I don't give them what I say. There is a subtle difference.
Okay. See, I'm sorry. Hold on. First of all, using a comic book in this reference is not good. Because that's a comic book, okay?
Chaotic good type characters.
I understand that, okay? And I understand that. But let's take a step back here. Okay, now we're getting to a different subject of what torture is to Eddie and what torture is to me. Okay, torture to me, someone who's been in the military, okay? A long time, still in there, over 20 years. Torture is very specific, okay? I could give you the exact definition of what torture is according to the Geneva Convention.
Right. Give it to me.
So you know what I mean? Like it's basically not authorized. You cannot waterboard people. That's what that whole movie, not the Hurt Locker, what was the other one? Zero Dark 30 was about, right? Like you cannot torture people. Torture, whether if I have a prisoner of war and I'm asking him information and he's handcuffed and I'm just throwing him around the room, Ed, that's torture. That is just as guilty as me putting a bag over his head and dipping his head in the river to give me information. It doesn't matter, okay? By the laws of the by law, that doesn't matter, Ed. So you're not going to convince me in any form of doubt that torture, regardless of you beating them or not, the intent of causing so much harm that they are afraid for their life is the torture, Ed. Whether it's psychological, verbal, or threatening. If I threaten to kill your wife, Ed, right? That's I'm torturing you psychologically. You're gonna tell me what I need to know? Oh, okay, Ed, you're true of heart and mind, your character, but you know what? You have a wife. I'm gonna kill your wife. No, you know what? Not only am I not gonna kill your wife, I'm gonna rape her and I'm gonna slowly torture her. That's just as bad as me torturing you, Ed, right? So like, to me, the definition of torture, whether it's roughing up, now, and I understand you're using Batman, right? Like, okay, Batman, but see, those criminals, that's different because Batman has a reputation. They believe he's going to kill them because he instigates that reputation, right? People think he's a vampire for crying out loud, Ed. You know what I mean? So like Batman's not a good example. Okay, look at Han Solo, hence the debate. Do you think Han Solo shot first, Ed? Let me hear it right here for everyone to hear on the podcast. Yes or no?
Yeah, he shot first.
Okay, so he shot first, right? Okay, if he's going to shoot first, then what? Right? So
did he torture Guido when he shot him? Killed him dead.
But he did a preemptive strike on Guido.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Guido actually had a gun pulled on him already, so...
He didn't know that.
He was staring the blaster right in his face.
That's what makes Han Solo so badass. He played the odds. He knew by insight that Guido was the type of person to jump him. So he shot first, but he had no clue. That's why he didn't even move his head when the shot took place. He was surprised. He just got the shot off before Greedo. Now, until the stupid re-edition for George Lucas changed that, screw that. Han Solo shot first, folks. All right, let's get that clear right now. Right? So
yeah, Han Solo shot first, and he was reasonable in action because he took reasonable action because someone who was threatened with deadly force.
So would he torture? Yes, Ed, I think he would. I agree with you that he would use an escalation of force. I think he would start off by roughing them up and not want to cut off hands or torture them by burning out their eyeballs or anything. I agree with you there. Like, yes.
Well, I just think there happens to be a subtle difference between roughing somebody up and actually torturing them. Punching someone in the gut is different than saying, I'm going to pluck your fingernails off one fingernail at a time until you tell me what I want to know.
Yeah,
now, maybe I'm completely different. I think there's a subtle difference. So when I say rough up, I mean, you know, that means I'm going to rough you up. But there is a line that I will not cross.
Which I think is true, yeah, because Batman's definitely not going to cross a line. I think it's a philosophical debate where how he could go, because I think there's strong arguments both ways. Because, yeah, torture, you're usually talking severe pain, suffering, threats of one's force, threats against other allies, which Batman's not going to necessarily do. But, yeah, he would beat a thug up, you know, throw a batarang into his hand and have him on the ground, you know, like screaming in pain, saying, hey, where's the lair at? So, but yeah, in terms of torture, in the sense that, especially in a modern sense, that what we talk about now when we talk about torture, I think we're talking about something a little different than what Batman does. But there's definitely a philosophical argument that could be made that that would be a type of torture. But I think it's kind of germane to the not germane to the point. And I think, again, this is a really good 9-podcast debate on each alignment and some of the interpretations that we have, because I think Ray brought up a very telling point where we can pretty easily identify what's evil, but then we get into some debate on what's good.
And why do you suppose that is?
Well, you know what? I think we're all evil at our heart. You know, that's what we're
doing. Well, you know what? I read an article.
It's a deeper philosophical debate on what's good versus we can more readily say, that's bad. Kicking puppies is bad. But then, hey, do I execute these bandits in the middle of nowhere? But there is no law. I'm the paladin. My belief system says, you know what? These are punished, but who do I take them to? I can't trek all the way back to town. I've got a quest to complete. So I'm going to be the judge, jury, and executioner, because that's the oath I took. So I think Gray or Good gets a little questionable, you know, because I disagree with a Dark Helmet. I don't think evil always wins because good is stupid. I think good's really good. It's just very complicated. So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, those are all good points. And, you know, I read an article once where there's more words to describe negativity than there are positive words. Like right now off the top of your head, if you were to say as many positive words, I think you could only come up with about 10 or 15. But if you went negative, it'd be like triple that you could easily come up with. It's just in our nature.
Yeah.
You know, to define what a bad and evil person is over what a good person is, because we all have a perception of what makes a good person, a good man, or a good woman, while evil is a consensus of what a bastard, an asshole is, you know, or are.
So I have would accept surrender, and then, you know, we were kind of on the torture part.
Well, I do agree with
would
you.
Rough them
that he would start with the least amount. He wouldn't go to 90. You know, like I understand 90 miles an hour. Like I understand, like you're right. Like there's a difference between roughing someone up. Would he rough someone up? No doubt. But for you to tell me that he would not overstep the boundary of roughing up from a chaotic good person, no, absolutely not. I disagree 110%. He would not murder him. He would not kill him. But I think that he would definitely push it to such a point that he would either get the information he needed or get a certain amount of information from someone else from the way he treated that individual. Absolutely. He wouldn't kill them. There's a difference in torturing to death over torturing to such a degree that the individual will talk, that it would depend on the situation. Let's say he was rescuing the princess or his daughter or just someone important that he felt a connection with for whatever reason. Well, the chaotic good person has to go rescue her. His you know, Robin Hood's Lady Marianne, you know, needs to be rescued. That's the love, his love interest from when he was a child. She needs to be rescued at all costs. I don't have time. You know, time, she's about to get married. Oh no, this is disastrous. Like, okay, you know what I mean? You need to tell me what I need to know. Boom, okay, a punch to the face. Okay, you're not going to tell me? He's laughing at me, spitting blood in my face. Ha ha ha. I don't have to hold out for hours. I just need to hold out long enough for your Lady Marianne to marry someone. Oh, that's unacceptable. Dagger to the knee. Bam. Oh my God, he's over here. And pulls out the dagger. Polly does first aid really quick, or tells someone else in the party to give him first aid. And Polly hates himself slightly, but Lady Marianne needs to be rescued. That is the chaotic good person.
So I have would accept surrender and would rough them up to get information.
I'd go with that one. So I think there's a line between how far he would go with it. So I'd say rough it up. But definitely, I think this is the alignment podcast that will be forthcoming. So where we need to dig into. So I would encourage anyone who's listening, who has stayed with us this long, stay tuned, because there's definitely more coming along the alignments.
I don't know why we chose this subject of all the subjects, alignments. Alignments are good. you're always going to have opinions and perspectives.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's, yeah.
We could argue it all day.
So now let's deal with the maniac, chaotic neutral.
Go ahead, Tony, because this alignment just irks the crap out of me.
Oh, wait, before you go.
Well-known
chaotic neutral characters from film or literature include Captain Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean, Q from Star Trek, Peeves the Poltergeist from Harry Potter, and Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, totally Conan. I was going to say Conan.
Okay, yeah, now go.
Okay, go. Okay. So here I think it's really going to be okay, so Conan the Barbarian, I think.
Hey, Tony, can I interrupt for 1 second?
Go ahead.
Something I want to say before you start. I don't want to be that guy, but okay. So before we even talk about this alignment, I just want to say for the record, this, in my opinion, is the most misplayed alignment in role-playing history. This alignment. I've seen people fight and tooth and nail for this alignment because they feel that this alignment allows them to do anything they want. While that is true to a sense, it is not actually that. And I just want to say that this, and I hope some people are willing to comment or talk about it or at least agree with me, that it is the most role-played alignment there is in the system. All right, so I wanted to say, just want to get that out of the way. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, sure. No problem. I think that these characters, you know, in the scenario where, okay, they've been attacked, these guys now surrender, I think they would be inclined in many cases to accept the surrender. You know, they're basically all about them. And I think this is where Ray kind of brings a point where players can take him to say, well, I can be as evil or good as I want. It's just, I think a lot of times these characters are portrayed as being sort of crazy, that, you know, practically schizophrenic, where they don't have any grounding. It's like, I go any way I want to go. It's just the pendulum's just swinging constantly back and forth. And I agree with Ray. I think that this is really kind of undone because while, yes, you do have a chaotic link in there, in terms of your belief towards overall order, you do still have some kind of a moral compass, but it's like your own well-being is above someone else's. You're not going to jump in front of, well, okay, the ambushers attack or the bandits attack, and they get the jump on one of the characters, and, you know, a lawful good character sees that this is going to be, they're going to be struck from behind. And so that lawful good character is going to get in the way of that blow, knowing that this may be fatal to them, could seriously harm them. But you know what? I need to protect that person next to me. So I'm going to do that. A chaotic neutral character isn't necessarily going to feel that way. They'll try to stop the attack, but they're not going to put themselves in the way and risk their own hide to save someone else. Even though it's a loyal party member, they're just not there. They're not going to put themselves out on the line. They're not going to be out of the way cruel or insane in terms of torture. I think they would if there's something that they need. They don't have that moral reluctance that the chaotic good character has, because I really like Ray's line that the chaotic good bend is, yeah, I want to be kind, but, you know, my personal freedom is important to me, but there's a certain moral compass I have to follow, and I have to, there's a certain line I won't cross. Whereas the neutral character can push that line a little bit more, but they're not insane, crazy, you know, sociopaths. But I think Ray's onto a point where some people play them that way, where it's like, well, I can do whatever I want. I'm chaotic neutral. You know, well, do you start to lean towards chaotic evil at that point, where you're just doing whatever the heck comes to mind? So while you're not really worried about order, you are looking out for yourself. You're not necessarily going to hurt someone else, but I'm not going to risk my own skin. So I really look at it in terms of these guys surrender. Okay, if it's no direct harm to me, but if any of these characters act up or do something that's going to hurt that group, chaotic neutral would have no qualm against saying, you know what, they're too much of a risk. I'm not going to be captured or attacked or potentially killed or captured myself because we're taking these prisoners to town to get tried for their crimes. They could kill anyone who surrenders, but I don't think they go out of their way to do it. They need to have a reason to. I don't think they're at the chaotic evil point where they're just like, you know what, you surrendered, let's kill them. I don't think they're as bad as lawful evil, but they don't have the regard for order that lawful evil has. But they don't have that inner evil, I guess, for lack of a better term, that sinister side to them. It's a little more tempered, but it's really more selfish.
So what I get right now, based on everything you said, is that would accept surrender and torture if necessary, or even kill to get information.
Yeah, I would see that as a chaotic neutral.
Okay, I have to interject. I agree 100% with Tony and your response to it, but I think what you're losing in this, in your response head to that, is how he would do that. That's important with this alignment.
Okay, how would he do it?
How he would do that. Okay, so I'm going to give two examples. Okay, I'm going to answer the question in my opinion, what I think a chaotic neutral person would do in this example that you just said, and then I'm going to give another example, Conan in particular, in a story, in one of the stories in Conan the Usurper that he does. Okay, first one is I'm going to answer the question. Okay, so would he take prisoners? Yeah, yes and no, and I'm going to justify them both ways. Would he take prisoners? Yeah, he would. Sure. But I think that he would have a warped sense of what prisoners he would take or how he would take prisoners. If the bandits were like, oh, you're too powerful for us, drop the swords, we're, you know, arrest us, he might look at them as cowards. It depends on his upbringing, right? Like, because to a chaotic neutral person, his traditions, like his personal warped sense of honor, is what motivates him. That's why they hate boredom. That alignment hates boredom. They have like a weird sense of looking at things, hence chaotic neutral, right? They think so outside the box that they're constantly looking in. So in this example, let's go with what you said. Would he take prisoners? Yes. Would he torture them? Yes. Well, how? Bam, here you go. The chaotic neutral person says, okay, cowards, ridiculous. You call yourself bandits, you're a disgrace. But I don't have time to take you back and to arrest you. So I think what's fair is your horses. Yeah. I'm going to tie your hands behind your back. I'm going to put you on your horses and I'm going to slap the horse's ass and I'm going to push you off into the jungle or into the forest or into the desert. But what? We're not going to survive a day without our weapon. If you're strong, you'll survive. Bam! That is your chaotic neutral character. He fulfilled his terms of capturing them and not killing them and left for the gods, for fate, or whatever sense of perverted honor he has to do that. Right? Could he torture them? Of course. Of course he would torture them. He would go as far as probably like the first guy, right? Like, let's say he needed information. Again, he time is of the essence. He has information. He goes, you're going to tell me. He probably wouldn't even ask a question. He would probably execute the first person. Oh, you know what? You're pathetic. He goes, I'm not even going to ask you. He'd probably decapitate one guy, pick up the head, look at the head, and then look at them. He goes, I'm not even going to ask you questions. I'm going to wait for you to tell me what I want to know. Bam. That is what the chaotic neutral person would do while holding the head up and then roll the head down the stairs. And then they'd be like, oh my God, this guy's a weirdo. This guy's a freak. What is he doing?
And here I slapped on depending on my mood.
Right? Yeah.
Depending on his mood. Yeah.
Especially, especially if, like, let's say they injured him or they gave him a scar and he like valued beauty or something. His aggression would reflect how he would do these things. Okay, now, that answers your question right there. Now, in the second example with Conan and the usurper story, it's a great story. The whole story, Conan is basically has been arrested because he's been drinking. I think he was in the Turian army at the time, and he punched out an officer, like his commander, in charge of him, and basically went to jail. And like there was a resistance that kind of took place. Killed like the jailers and all that. And Conan got left there to die. And basically somehow was eating rats. He got left there to die because nobody got him or was feeding him or anything. And finally, this Lord who went in there discovers him, or actually a female, the Lord's daughter, finds him. She was curious, went in there, and like she, and of course, likes Conan, because Conan's big, muscular, handsome, and all that good stuff, and comes in and takes him to his father, and he wants these rebels suppressed. Conan says, oh, not a problem, I'll do that, but for a price. And the king says, this Lord says, yeah, I'll do it. Anything you want, anything I own in my kingdom, in my small little fort, is yours. Anything. Anything I own that I possess is yours. One thing. If you go end this rebellion. He goes and says, done deal. He eats, drinks, grabs a sword there, and basically goes and ends the rebellion. Doesn't care that the rebellion was actually good. The king was actually bad. The king was kind of a jerk, kind of like manipulating. He was all into lust and drinking and all that. They didn't take care of his subjects. And the rebels were doing the right thing. Did Conan care? No, he didn't care. He looked at them as like, if you were warriors and you were really true rebels, you would have already overthrown the king. So I'm just ending the argument because you're not worthy of it. Comes back, right? And of course, this girl's like all sweet on Conan, try to hook up with Conan before he left. But he didn't, because Conan was smart enough to realize that he shouldn't do these things the one time. And the king is like, oh, hey, so you got it done. Oh, my God. You could take any one thing you want. He's looking at the princess. The king is freaked out because he's like, oh, my God, this barbarian man, Sumerian man, is going to take my virgin daughter, do all these horrible things to her. Because that's what Conan's going to do, right? And the girl's like all excited, and she's all turned on, and she's like, oh, it's going to happen. Here it is. Conan's going to pick. He could have anything he wants in this whole thing, and he's going to pick me. Awesome. Conan starts rushing towards her. She's rushing towards him, and this is literally explained. And then as she comes across him, he slaps her in the face, knocks her to the side, and says, how beautiful. And he wants the king's horse. He accepts the king's horse. The king is like, what? You disrespected my daughter. You want to take my greatest steed, and you know, I treat you to anything, and this is how you act. Conan says, you said I could take anything, and because I reject your daughter, that's not good enough for you. And he goes, you're an enemy of the state. And Conan says, then so be it. I'm the enemy of your state, but I have your horse. It's on his horse, takes his sword, and leaves. And that's the end of the story. That, in my opinion, is the epitome of chaotic neutral. The whole scenario, everything that was on it, and how he did it, is chaotic neutral to its utmost extreme.
You know, you could tell a story, bro. All right, so let's get this last one out of the way. Chaotic evil.
I don't think you're going to have much of an argument on that one either.
Great, Tom?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty straightforward. I don't think a chaotic evil character is going to accept surrender. I think they would either, A, if someone's like, oh, I'll surrender, just cut them down armed or not. Unless there was some real advantage to keeping them alive. But once they fulfilled that purpose, like, okay, if there's information I want, yeah, he definitely torture anyone that he captured or she captured without any qualm, because it's going to basically just be, it would either be, this is just sport, you know, we've beaten them, here's something, you know, I can tease them and watch them, actually kill each one of them in line. But I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of argument that a chaotic evil character, unless there was some reason to keep these people alive, that there was some value to them that was greater than that. And I would think it would really even get into, well, okay, they have to be kept alive, but, within an inch of their life and breathing is still alive, you know, so it's just, unless they're just, and literally, I think in the women of the moment, like, hey, you know, just wipe out anyone that surrendered just because it's either makes for good sport or just arbitrarily just like, I just don't want to deal with it. You know, so I think that's what I would think a chaotic evil character would do in that kind of situation.
I think he's right. I mean, I don't think we're gonna have any argument. The chaotic evil person is just so psychotic that he would, you know, keyword here being psychotic, right? Unpredictable. He would do whatever pleasure. I imagine that he was a chaotic evil person. He probably would let them surrender, promise them, and then kill them, or torture them in such a pleasurable, horrific way. It's one thing to be neutral evil and to torture them because you derive pleasure from it. That's like Loose Bolton, right? He's torturing them for a reason and intent and purpose. It's an end to a means. A chaotic evil person would like probably do what Dracula did. He would probably impale them while they were still alive on a stake while eating his steak dinner.
You know? What I put was accept the surrender and then slay the prisoners.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just he just wouldn't even, there wouldn't even be any pretense.
Yes.
They're prisoners.
Or depending on what type of chaotic evil person he was, just continue fighting like a berserker, like not even care. Oh, we surrender. Well, unfortunately, I'm not accepting your surrender.
Chaotic evil character wouldn't necessarily be under the obligation to accept the surrender.
And continue fighting. Hence the difference between a neutral evil and a chaotic evil. The chaotic evil person, although it would be easier for them to surrender and then kill them, probably wouldn't even bother because he's so psychotic and evil that he's deriving pleasure from killing them in horrible, decapitating finger ways. You know what I mean? While a neutral good person is intelligent and thinking, oh, well, yeah, I'll accept their surrender. That's less effort I have to put in. That's less I have to do. And then I can kill them whenever I want, however I want,
because
I can. While chaotic evil person would just not even, the concept of that might be completely overlooked by their lust to inflict harm.
Ray, would you think like the mountain that rides in the Lord of the Rings would be chaotic evil? You know, like the way he operates?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the
mountain that rides, that character, I've only read the first book, and I know a little bit of the TV series, but that character kind of struck me as being a chaotic evil.
The mountain from Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Yeah, the mountain. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, where his little brother, which is the Hound in the story, he literally takes playing with his toy, and that he had thrown away.
He threw away
the toy in the garbage. His little brother sees it, plays with it. He gets so upset that he didn't ask for permission to play with the toy, grabbed him, and threw his head in a fire.
Yeah, and
that
I think
that's a
chaotic
evil.
Yeah.
While a neutral evil person would probably like hurt him, but do it in such a way that it was, oh, Jimmy, the Hound fell by accident, Dad. I possibly don't know how he got hurt. Or plotting against him in the background, right? That's the difference between a neutral evil and a chaotic evil person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A chaotic evil person wouldn't care. Oh, with your dad there, knowing that your dad's gonna whoop your ass, a chaotic evil person would not care. Whatever. I'm gonna be cruel to animals. I'm gonna pee in my bed. I'm gonna burn things. That's a chaotic evil person.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Well. So. We did good. We got through one question.
It was a deep one. I think we got it.
And it was definitely very, very deep. So let me take this opportunity to thank both Ray and Gray Tome in their assistance. I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening. Follow us on Evolving RPG. Follow us on Twitter. And as both Ray and Gray Tome said, we would love to hear your feedback. Post something in the comment sections. You agree, disagree, have a good story that you would like to tell concerning certain alignments. We would love to hear it.
That we would.
Definitely.
That being said, take care, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep, yep. Ciao.